As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on The Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding here on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Jared Weiss. I'm joined by Mark Schindler. Danielle Lehman is producing. This is Steph Curry's return game. This is Donovan Mitchell back in Utah. But all those got pushed aside by the Oklahoma City Thunder for closing in on a great win over the Miami Heat. And then Jimmy Butler unraveled it for them as he hit his 23rd free throw of the night as the Miami Heat set a new NBA record going 40 for 40 from the line, and they won 112-111, Mark.
Yeah, man, this was a wild game in that aspect. Like you mentioned, they set the record 40 for 40 from the line, which I think in some ways is almost an indictment of what their offense was at times. OKC played really well defensively, to be fair. Like, Jalen Williams had some massive plays down the stretch, rotating weak side to blow things up at the rim. But as you mentioned, Jimmy, even going 6 of 17, it's on 6 made field goals, he had 35 points tonight. Like,
that's incredible. That,
are we ever going to be able to say that again? Like, that's
I mean, Kawhi had 30 plus on 12 field goals too, right?
Close enough. But yeah, I mean, exactly. Yeah. That was interesting. And that's without even talking about the entire Dwayne Dedmon debacle that went on tonight, which was another wrench in this game.
I mean, this was just a hideous game for Miami overall, which means that they won the game, obviously. But yeah, we'll get, actually, let's just talk about Dwayne Dedmon. What the hell happened? He threw a Theragun on the court. You don't really see players throwing stuff on the court, especially when they're mad at their own coaching staff. But it's one thing to throw like a cup or something. He threw a heavy object that could have hurt one of his teammates. Like, that was nuts.
Yeah, it was pretty wild because you saw it happen at first. And I think the broadcast thought, and I thought too, I was like, oh, the fan is throwing something on the court. And then they go back and replay it. Like, no, man, it's Dwayne Dedmon as he walks to the back of the locker room. And that was interesting. I'm interested to see what the ramifications are from that.
I mean, he's got to be suspended, right? Like a few games for that to do the, he basically was storming off on his own coaching staff like that.
On a game when Bam Adebayo is already out. That was weird, man.
That was crazy. And, one, you don't need him because you got Orlando Robinson, you got Haywood Highsmith, you got some dominant guys playing. He had Kane, he played 33 minutes, he closed this game out. You can live with that. I should say don't need him, that's too strong, but you could live without him. He did not make himself less replaceable after that act. But what was so great was Spoelstra gets asked about it in the interview, and he's just like, it's just a typical Tuesday night for the Miami Heat. Spo handles those situations better than anybody I've ever seen.
Yeah, after the game, I believe he had a comment. I think Brady Hawk posted this, and it was, that's Miami Heat basketball. And I was like, okay, man. Like, yeah, exactly like you said. Like, he just handles it incredibly well, because I would not be handling it remarkably like that.
Yeah, I mean, when shit hits the fan, that's the Heat in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But let's talk about, before we get back to their free throws, let's talk about that Thunder offense. I really love what Josh Giddey was doing late in this game. He ended up having a triple-double, and he made some big plays down the stretch. You know, I mean, Shea had a good game, but like I felt like this was Giddey's night.
Yeah, Giddey had a really good game tonight. As you mentioned, the triple-double, he was really impactful on the offensive glass, especially with how small Miami ended up playing down the stretch. Like, they were playing Jamal Cain at the five at times, and I think he's about 6'7", 210. So, you know, you're talking about a size advantage. He's been playing just really well of late, and I think tonight was an encapsulation of that. Didn't hit his threes, which he has been lately, but, like, I mean, I think that's what was interesting. You saw Miami being very aggressive, helping off the corners, jutting at the slot to try and deter some of the drives. And you had guys who were really aggressive cutting in. Like, Aaron Wiggins was huge with that tonight. Josh Giddey was huge with that tonight. Overall, I loved what their passing was together as a team. I think you saw a lot of really good flashes from what they can do offensively. And that's, you know, talking about Jalen Williams too. We haven't even mentioned, like, Shea was awesome, don't get me wrong. But, like, Jalen Williams just has, like, three or four plays a night where you're like, that's the shit. Like, you just see him do stuff and you're like, that's the stuff that I want to see on a basketball court. And you saw that in Vogue tonight, and that was this was a really exciting game for that team, even though they ended up losing. Jeez,
it seems unfair. I mean, they won. They really won. I won the emotional win on that one. Yeah,
it's like Rocky.
I mean, and the reason why I say that is because, like, Jalen Williams looks way too good for a guy that they could have scooped up in the same draft. They already got Chet Holmgren. Like, this team has legitimate depth coming into its own. That once they get this guy back, it's like they're going to be scary. Aaron Wiggins is looking like Andrew Wiggins in this game. You know, Giddey is truly looking like he's a point guard of the future. And Kenny Hustle had a really nice
big
game.
Big plays over and over again, man, on both sides. Right? Yeah.
And what was so funny was we were laughing about this as the game was ending, how, like, Max Drews fouls Kenny Hustle on a fadeaway in the post with, like, a few seconds left in the game. And he goes to the line, you're thinking, like, oh, this game's definitely over. Then, of course, he misses the free throw, and then Butler posts up Jalen Williams and gets that and one, just going beast mode at the end. But it was just crazy how this game was coming down to a Kenny Hustle free throw. And you actually felt good about the Thunder's chance to win it.
Yeah. No, exactly, man. Especially, too, like, they had, like, I mean, how often can you say a game is going to end on a tip ball, like, with 2 seconds left? And I, exactly like you're mentioning, I was like, oh, I think OKC can make something happen here. And obviously did not, but I agree, man. I'm so excited to see what this team looks like when they have a full functional front court. Because, like, even looking at this, like, Jeremiah Robinson rolls out. Alexei Pokuševski's out. Obviously, like you mentioned, Chet Holmgren's not playing this season. When they have a legitimate five in the front court, I'm really interested to see what that looks like, because this team, it's starting to move me.
I love Mark's attention to detail that every other person in the league will say Poku, but he goes with the full Alexei Pokuševski, the full Jeremiah Robinson.
That's why they pay me the big bucks here.
Yeah, this is why we're giving the big bucks. Okay, Miami Heat, good 40 for 40 from the line. Bad 10 for 33 from deep. 31 for 79 from the field. 20 turnovers. I mean, what is this team right now after this game?
I think, as Spo would probably put it, they're one win deeper. And that counts for something, especially in a game when, you know, both Tyler Hero and Bam Adebayo are out. Kyle Lowry doesn't play. You just kind of take what you can from this. I do want to say, too, Victor Oladipo came up huge in the fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention that. He was big with some of his shot making. They were down, I think, 5 or 6 late in the game. His defense was substantial as well. They really started to throw doubles towards Shea, just being more aggressive overall, and he was really big in single coverage as well. So shout out to him. It's nice that, like, he's contributed quite a bit off the bench over the last couple of games. It's good to see him get his feet under him.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, let's head to Utah, where Donovan Mitchell made his return. The former Jazz man, he's a Cav now. He had 46 points. And yet, there was another all-time great offensive player that was the one that actually got the W in this game. His name is Jordan Clarkson. And I want to read a text from Mark Schindler that received in my inbox. That's not what they call it. On my phone at 11:41 p.m. Eastern time. Jordan Clarkson might be better than MJ. Mark, can you please defend that statement?
I mean, when did MJ ever take down the four-seeded Cleveland Cavaliers with, you know, three back-to-back fouled threes by Caris LeVert? Like, MJ never did that. So, yeah, I mean, Jordan Clarkson was obviously in jest. Jordan Clarkson was unreal tonight. Like, he just continues to be really a complete joy this season. He seems to be having a blast too, which has been fun. But yeah, I mean, the Cavs kind of snatched defeat from the jaws of victory tonight with how they played Jordan. I think Caris just had a really rough fourth quarter defensively. I think overall he struggled quite a bit defensively this game after being pretty solid defensively this whole season. Fouled. It was him all three times, fouling Jordan Clarkson late game to end up putting Utah up after it looked like they were going to kind of just not even escape. Like it felt like this kind of was kind of a certified W for the Cavs with about 3 minutes left. And then Jordan Clarkson took over and it's kind of all she wrote, man.
Yeah. I mean, Utah had a solid, what, like 12, 13 point lead in the middle of the third quarter. And Cleveland just steadily chipped away at that. Credit to Donovan for that. Cleveland had that lead. They had a several possession lead throughout the entirety of crunch time. And then it just kind of fell off a cliff there at the very end. And it was Clarkson kind of hitting every kind of shot over and over again. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. You don't think of Jordan Clarkson as a guy drawing free throws because he's someone that's looking to get to that pull up. He's looking to get to that midi pull up. He's looking to throw up that finger roll. But what was Cleveland's kind of like lack of discipline there at the very end?
Yeah, I don't want to just single out Caris. I think that was kind of on them just in general, like that there needed to be some kind of like, I mean, that's something where I'm like, okay, are you calling a timeout, getting things settled down? Because that just can't happen. It is rough too, because on another hand, Isaac Okoro ended up leaving the game because he was sick, which I would imagine they would have swapped defense for offense in the end of the game if he had been healthy. And it was really frustrating too, just from an analysis standpoint, because Evan Mobley had one of the best defensive stretches I've seen from a player this year in that fourth quarter. Even when they were giving up some drives and struggling to get stops at the point of attack, like he had, I think if I counted it correctly, I think he had 9 contests at the rim and altered shots.
Jesus.
Within like 2.5 minutes. It was unreal. Like, and he was doing some stuff switching out. He was just incredibly aggressive, was really good. And especially, with Jared Allen being out for the game, he left just 7 minutes in. This was, I mean, Mobley has, not that he's been bad as a primary rim protector, but he's really thrived playing the four, being able to roam more and being able to be a primary rim protector and playing as well as he did tonight was a really encouraging sign for them. And I mean, frankly, I think this is just one of the best defensive games I've seen from him in being asked to do that. But again, like it gets kind of muddled by what that ended up being.
Mark Schindler noted Evan Mobley stan. I feel like Evan Mobley has come up at least 10 times since we've done the show together over the past season.
Has to.
Even though we never do Cleveland games together.
Yeah.
All right. We had one more great game, and that was the Orlando Magic beat the Portland Trailblazers 109-106. They got a big three down there in Orlando, don't they?
That's absolutely right, man. Franz Wagner finishes with 29, Paolo Banchero 19, Wendell Carter Jr. 20. I'm getting there, man. I tweet this out and I'll stand by it. I think that this is gonna be the best front court in the NBA in 2 years. When the flashes are there, it's so brilliant, and they had them in vogue tonight. In Vogue, I've used that twice. Not sure why, but Portland really struggled to deal with the size and blend of skill and size that Orlando was able to put out with those three. The defense, the way that they were able to switch out and kind of stifle their guard play was really big for stretches. And mainly, like, it was just the stretches of things. Like, Franz really got the game started for them. He was so dynamic with his scoring versatility, driving to the inside. He hit a couple pull-ups. He, again, just being someone who's 6'10" that can handle the ball like he does and be an interior scorer and stretch out, like, he provides a ton of issues down the stretch late. It was Paolo being really aggressive getting to the line because nobody could really contain him with his blend of strength and polish as a scorer. And then Wendell was just awesome all around, getting their guards open, being active as a screener and a roller. And he hit three of his four threes tonight. He shot really well over, like, the last month or so since he came back from injury. Or I guess it's the last couple of weeks, but technically, you know, calendar month. But with, I mean, they got good contributions from Markelle Fultz as well. But I think, again, to me, the story was just how dynamic that core group was. Damian Lillard was awesome tonight, I thought. He struggled a little bit from deep. And again, part of that was the size that they were really able to switch out on. And then he was really aggressive on, you know, ping pong and boomeranging the ball and then attacking the interior. But again, just going back and forth like that, that size was a really big problem for Portland.
All right, real quick, we can't not talk about Steph Curry returning with his giant shoulder bionic sleeve, whatever was going on there. He looks fascinating out there. And he had 24 points. Klay Thompson had 29 points. Jordan Poole had 27 points. They're going up against Phoenix, who's missing their three stars. Of course they lost by 12 points.
The real star tonight was Mikal Bridges. 26, 9, and 5. Three blocks and a steal. He was dynamic. And I think, to me, this was fun because this is the first game I think I've watched in a month and a half from the Suns that felt like I was really watching the Suns of last year. The way that they moved the ball was awesome. Like, Damian Lee was huge tonight, especially down the stretch. He ended up being the guy that had to get fouled a shit ton, gets 14 free throw attempts tonight.
That's a revenge game,
right? Exactly. Finished with 22-7-4 as he got his ring tonight from the Warriors for winning the title last year.
That wasn't for tonight.
Wait, what?
That wasn't for last night's game. That was for winning the championship.
No, I mean, maybe I would just write on it in Sharpie and say for tonight's game. But yeah, I mean, the way that they just moved the ball overall was awesome. That was really fun to watch from them. And I think in some ways, I don't want to say this was like a fluke from Golden State, but Steph was not himself tonight or even close to it. Like, most of his scoring came in the second half. He really was rusty early on. I mean, Klay kind of had it going, but not quite to the level that they needed. And then there just wasn't really anything else. Like, Jordan Poole was good. But overall, their defense was, it felt like they were just a step behind the entire night, especially with the starters, which was not something that we're super accustomed to seeing. But as they're working, you know, Wiggins and Steph both back in, it was interesting to see. Andre Iguodala got a dunk in his first game back, so good for him.
All right, well, good for you for wrapping the show up. We are going to do it there. I'm Jared Weiss. He's Mark Schindler. Danielle Lehman is our producer. We'll see you next time on The Ding.
Ding, ding, y'all.